The chartered turboprop was just passing over the twinkling lights of Monaco when Aringarossa hung up with Fash for the second time.
Just let it be over, he prayed.
Fash's newest update seemed unfathomable, and yet almost nothing tonight made sense anymore.
What is going on?
Everything had spiraled wildly out of control.
What have I gotten Silas into? What have I gotten myself into?
On shaky legs, Aringarossa walked to the cockpit.
I need to change destinations. I have to get to London immediately.
It had all begun as a holy cause. Now, like a house of cards, it was collapsing in on itself, and the end was nowhere in sight.
Victuals, my dears?
Teabing rejoined Sophie and Langdon with a flourish, presenting several cans of Coke and a box of old crackers. He apologized profusely for the limited fare as he doled out the goods.
Our friend the monk isn't talking yet, he chimed, but give him time.
He eyed the poem.
So, my lovely, any headway?
Sophie shook her head and remained silent. While Teabing again dug into the verse, Langdon popped a Coke and turned to the window, his thoughts awash with images of secret rituals and unbroken codes. A headstone praised by Templars is the key. The plane was over land again when a flash of enlightenment struck him. Langdon set down his empty can of Coke hard.
You won't believe this, he said, turning to the others.
The Templar headstone. I figured it out. Teabing's eyes turned to saucers.
You know where the headstone is?
Langdon smiled. Not where it is, what it is. Sophie leaned in to hear.
I think the headstone references a literal stone head, not a grave marker.
A stone head? Teabing demanded.
Lee, Langdon said, turning, during the Inquisition, the Church accused the Knights Templar of all kinds of heresies, right?
Correct. They fabricated all kinds of charges, sodomy, urination on the cross, devil worship, quite a list.
And on that list was the worship of false idols, right? Specifically, the Church accused the Templars of secretly performing rituals in which they prayed to a carved stone head. The pagan god
Baphomet, Teabing blurted. My heavens, Robert, you're right. A headstone praised by Templars.
Okay, Sophie said, but if Baphomet is the headstone praised by Templars, then we have a new dilemma.
She pointed to the dials on the cryptex.
Baphomet has 8 letters. We only have room for 5.
Teabing grinned broadly.
My dear, this is where the Atbash cipher comes into play.
Langdon was impressed. Teabing had just finished writing out the entire 22-letter Hebrew alphabet from memory. Granted, he'd used Roman equivalents rather than Hebrew characters, but even so, he read through them with flawless pronunciation. Then Teabing added,
In formal Hebrew spelling, the vowel sounds are not written. Therefore, when we write the word Baphomet using the Hebrew alphabet, it will lose its 3 vowels in translation, leaving us 5 letters, Sophie blurted.
Teabing nodded and began writing again.
Okay, here is the proper spelling of Baphomet in Hebrew letters. Bet, pe, vet, mem, tet. Next, all we have to do is create our substitution scheme by rewriting the entire alphabet in reverse order, opposite the original alphabet.
Teabing was grinning like a schoolboy at Christmas.
And the Atbash cipher reveals...
He stopped short.
Good God!
What's wrong?
Sophie demanded.
This is... ingenious.
Teabing wrote again on the paper.
Drum roll, please. Here is your password.
He read the sequence.
S-V-F-Y-A. And this, my friends, is actually an ancient word of wisdom. Genius, Teabing added. Remember, the letter V is often a placeholder for the vowel sound O.
Sophie looked at the letters, attempting to sound them out.
Sophie. Yeah.
She heard the sound of her voice and could not believe what she had just said.
Sophia? This spells Sophia?
Langdon was nodding enthusiastically.
Yes.
Sophia literally means wisdom in Greek. Sophie suddenly missed her grandfather immensely.
He encrypted the Priory Keystone with my name.
But as she turned her gaze to the 5-lettered dials on the cryptex, she realized a problem still existed.
But wait, S-O-P-H-I-A has 6 letters.
Teabing's smile never faded.
Look at the poem again,
Your grandfather wrote an ancient word of wisdom.
Yes?
Teabing winked.
In ancient Greek, wisdom is spelled S-O-F-I-A.
Sophie felt a wild excitement as she cradled the cryptex and dialed in the letters.
Okay, she whispered, glancing up at the others. I'm going to pull it apart.
Remember the vinegar, Langdon whispered. Be careful.
Teabing and Langdon both leaned in as Sophie wrapped her palms around the ends of the cylinder. She pulled as firmly as she dared. Then the stone slid apart smoothly. Sophie's heart rate climbed as she set the end cap on the table and tipped the cylinder to peer inside.
A scroll.
Peering down the hollow of the rolled paper, Sophie could see it had been wrapped around a cylindrical object, the vial of vinegar, she assumed. Strangely, though, the paper around the vinegar was not the customary delicate papyrus, but rather vellum.
That's odd, she thought. Vinegar can't dissolve a lambskin vellum.
She looked again down the hollow of the scroll and realized the object in the center was not a vial of vinegar after all. It was something else entirely.
What's wrong? Teabing asked. Pull out the scroll.
Frowning, Sophie grabbed the rolled vellum and the object around which it was wrapped, pulling them both out of the container.
That's not papyrus, Teabing said. It's too heavy.
I know. It's padding.
For what? The vial of vinegar?
No.
Sophie unrolled the scroll and revealed what was wrapped inside.
For this.
When Langdon saw the object inside the sheet of vellum, his heart sank.
God help us, Teabing said, slumping. Your grandfather is a pitiless architect.
On the table sat a second cryptex, smaller, made of black onyx. It had been nested within the first. Reaching over, Langdon lifted the smaller cryptex. It looked identical to the first, except half the size and black. He heard the familiar gurgle. Apparently, the vial of vinegar they had heard earlier was inside this smaller cryptex. Langdon examined the thick vellum sheet. Written in ornate penmanship was another four-line verse. The verse was cryptic, but Langdon needed to read only as far as the first line to realize that Teabing's plan to come to Britain was going to pay off. In London lies a knight, a pope interred. The remainder of the poem clearly implied that the password for opening the second cryptex could be found by visiting this knight's tomb somewhere in the city. Langdon turned excitedly to Teabing.
Do you have any idea what knight this poem is referring to?
Not the foggiest, but I know in precisely which crypt we should look,
Teabing announced triumphantly, just as the pilot announced their imminent landing in London.